Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Sturkers and Radar Uncut, our monthly podcast brought to you by Ping.
Play your best. Sorry I sound a bit snuffly, but the air conditioning here in America is driving me absolutely mad. Not only is it cold, it is noisy, and I can't sleep at night. So that's why my nose and I sound like I'm all blocked up.
We are ready for episode 4, everybody. Thanks again to listening to our 3 episodes so far. And just a reminder, check us out on social as well. Sturkers Radar on Twitter and Sturkers and Radar Pod on Instagram. As Radar's just said, well, I'm in Oxfordshire right now. Radar's in the States. Radar, I know you were so excited to head back to the States. You've been over there for the playoffs. You missed it, didn't you? You've been having a great time over there the last couple of weeks.
It's absolutely been sensational. Doing work back in the UK on the PGA Tour has been fun, but it's not the same in my job. I'm back to my day job, walking the course, and so far the championships have been just incredible. So many people. Our game is in such a healthy spot.
Been amazing. You've been playing a bit of. You've been out for some nice dinners. I've seen that. You've been out for a little couple of glasses of red, some nice steaks, and a few nice games of golf with Beamer, haven't you? And you're playing this afternoon as well, aren't you?
We were playing this afternoon, but it rained yesterday. We're supposed to play a great golf course here in Atlanta called Peachtree. Beamer and I. Beamer's still playing. Robert Lee and myself were supposed to play, but we can't because it rained yesterday. And it dampened our spirits because I've got to go out there and do some hole pieces today. But not to worry, I'm going to walk the Great East Lake this afternoon, the home of the great Bobby Jones. So all is good.
Amazing. And some nice, you've been out for some nice dinners? You've been chilling out in the evenings? Behaving yourself?
Absolutely behaving myself. Not too bad. I've been out 3 times in 18 days. That's about it. Just working. It's been so very hot and humid over here. About as hot and as humid as I've known it, Sarah. So at night, by the time you get back to the hotel, it's, you know, starfish position on the bed and just sleep.
I don't want a mental image of you in your bed in your hotel room. Thanks,
mate. Okay.
I've just eaten my lunch.
Yeah, I was spewed up there.
Listen, Radar, I did make a little announcement on social media the other day. And obviously, I phoned you up I told you the news, didn't I, before I announced it on social media, that I'm having a little bubba who's arriving in January. So quite excited about all that. But so it's a little boy. And I put on Instagram that I was sort of any names, you know, please for followers, send them in. You know, it's always interesting to see what people think. You know, I've kind of got Henrik's up there, maybe Rory, you know, potentially. And then I had a few people saying, there's only one name. You got to call him Wade.
Oh, I don't know about that. I've got Radar. At a very young age. I've never been a great fan of my name, Wayne. My parents just laugh at me, but, it could have been worse, Wayne. I could have been Christy Kerr's brother, couldn't I? And Wayne Kerr. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. But congratulations, Sarah. Yes, you've come out with all sorts of announcements, surprising us so much on so many different levels. But yes, congratulations to you and your partner. Absolutely magnificent news. And, running around, the tapping of small feet, and you're absolutely going to love it. I've got 3 kids, and best time of your life.
I hope so. I'm slightly scared. Slightly scared, but obviously very excited. So, yeah, thank you. I'll get you in for babysitting duties.
Oh, I'm not changing nappies. Shitty nappies, not happening. Especially other people's.
Listen, we've got loads to get through. I do want to talk a bit about the FedEx playoffs, and obviously a lot's been happening, loads to get through. We've got a really cool guest as well on our podcast this episode. But as ever, we're going to start with Radar's Rants. What's on the agenda for this episode?
Well, the rants that's going on, you know, as you just said, I've been over here in the States, and we're getting a lot of neg about the Bryson stuff is getting so much jip about, you know, this Brooke stuff. I was out there on Sunday this week, and last week, last Sunday, and sure, there's a few Brooksies, there's a few of that, but I honestly think it's the media getting on with this more than it's actually happening, Sarah. I mean, I was out there and they gave Bryson, there are more people cheering for Bryson than they were for Patrick Cantlay. Sure, on the 18th, he was getting a bit of paddy. Yeah, but Bryson, he has got unbelievable support. And I just wish they would stop because it is totally false. I did it on Insta last night. Again, some magazine was saying, oh, they've got to stop it. You know, Bryson, it's unfair. But it's not happening as much as people are saying it. And they love Bryson DeChambeau. Look, it's Happy Gilmore of golf. This guy's flying at 350 yards. Why wouldn't people love it? So get off it and stop saying that they call him Brooksy so much. Look, people don't love Brooks more than they love Bryson. That's total rubbish. So I just wish they'd stop that. I really do, because I've seen it firsthand. I am seeing it firsthand. This is the third week I'll be doing it at the final here at the Tour Championship final here at East Lake. And it won't change this week. They love Bryson as they love Brooks, but he isn't getting hardly done by. So whoever the guys are in the press just trying to make stories, go away and stop it.
It's a really good point. I was at a golf day actually yesterday and we were talking about it with some of the guests and, you know, at the end of the day, what he's doing, we've talked about it on the pod before, he's getting eyeballs onto the sport. And yeah, there's a few people in the crowd who are going to shout and yell and maybe he's not the most popular, but a lot of people do love him and love what he's doing. So just on that, obviously you've seen the news from the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, obviously saying this week at Eastlake that basically harassing or disruptive behaviour, any comments coming from the fans or the spectators won't be tolerated. And they could face expulsion from the tournament, loss of their credential or ticket. And he mentioned specifically shouts of Brooksy would qualify as being disrespectful and therefore subject to harsher penalties. So it's a good point you make. A lot of it's been blown up in the media, but do you think it's a good thing that the PGA Tour are now taking this stance?
Yes, I do. You know, to get rid of it all together, absolutely fantastic. You know, that's the way forward. But they're going to shout Brooksy anyway for Brooksy. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I've been out there with players before. How do you think every professional golfer in the world that played against Tiger Woods, including me, felt when they were shouting Tiger and he was being cheered on and it was like we didn't even exist? You know, that's an advantage. So these professional golfers have to take it in their stride to get what they are given. You're either a popular player or you aren't a popular player. And Brooks and Bryson are both popular players, extremely popular players. And Bryson with his team, I feel it would be great if they all sat down together and went, right now, we are the most talked about golfer. We are the most talked about team, Bryson DeChambeau's team, in the world. That's what they're talking about. You know, they're talking about Brooks, not for his golf at the moment. He's not playing his very best. He's playing fine. He's right up there with a chance of winning the FedEx Cup. But, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, you've also got to look at the positives. You can't look at the negatives all the time. You've got to look at positives. And the positives are that Bryson is being spoken about. And he's been spoken about his golf. It's been a lean 3 months or something like that, but he burst back into form last week. It wouldn't surprise me if he won this week round East Lake.
Yeah, good point. I just got to say, I know you're big on Instagram now, just a bit on Twitter. I just saw this earlier. So Lee Westwood, this was he sent a tweet out. He said, "I've been called Lumpy, Oosty, Clarky, amongst other names that I can't mention on and off for the last 25 years. And now you bring a rule in PGA Tour." And Shane Lowry, "If everyone who calls me Beef Golf gets kicked out, there'll be no fans left." I love this. Like all the players are coming out now and kind of obviously this rule that's been brought in regarding fan conduct by the PGA Tour. So I love that. So check out Shane's Twitter and Lee Westwood's Twitter. I love that. That was brilliant.
And, if you want it to stop, Sarah, if you want it to stop, okay, on the PGA Tour, stop the bars. Let's close all the bars down and no one's allowed to have a drink and we'll all be stiff and we'll all be sensible. Yeah. No electric lemonades when you're watching the golf. Good luck with that.
What's the worst? Can you repeat this? What's the worst thing you've been called on a golf course, or what heckling have you been subject to in your career?
Oh, hey, fat boy. Oi, fat boy. Radar, you're rude. Oh, radar, you're going to miss another cut. Oh, radar, your swing's awful. You're coming over the top. Oh, radar, not another three. Oh, how many do you want? How many do you want? You know, you can't have this. I think it's good what they've done, the PGA Tour. They've done the right thing. Whether it's going to stop it or not is another thing. I think you need this in golf. What we got on the PGA Tour, which is different to the European Tour, they both have their own styles. The European Tour is more subdued, but it's fantastic. It becomes electric as well in its own way. But the PGA Tour is a party. It's a festival of golf. You've been here many, many times, Sarah. It's a festival of golf. It's like a ball game. You go and watch the Yankees. You go and watch. It's big. It's massive. It's loud. It's vibrant. And when you're amongst it, which I am, it's electrifying. And you don't really want to take that stuff away unless it gets out of hand. But calling someone Brooksy a little bit, you know, it's not as bad. You can be called worse, and we all have.
No, I know. I agree. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people get a bit pissed off, don't they, with the mashed potato brigade and the kind of the shout. So I agree with you. I think it's good from a PGA Tour standpoint with the disrespectful kind of element of it. But I also think you're right. You know, we want to hear the fun. We want to hear the energy. And the players at the end of the day, you know, they can take it, can't they? You know, come on, they're professional athletes. They can put up with a bit of name calling and a bit of jip from the fans. So
Maybe Bryson got a little bit upset when he lost. I mean, that was one of the greatest playoffs we've ever seen. Tell you that right now. That was just hammer and tong stuff. And I called it on the 18th. I said, whoever loses this playoff can't be upset because they didn't lose it. The other guy just won it.
I mean, it was the best playoff I've ever seen, best playoff I've ever watched. Had, you know, match play, it was just insane, wasn't it?
Well, it was insane. But Bryson had the best chances, but then he hit it in the water and got it up and down to stay in it. You know, Cantlay stayed in it, and then he had a great opportunity for a birdie, Bryson, even though it was a tough left to right putt. But Cantlay took his opportunity, and he did it. It was just fantastic. A great promotion for our game. It was pure. It was fantastic. I'm sure BMW and Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour are over the moon with the BMW. Let's just hope this week, which it never ceases to everyone's so happy usually after here. Rory's won a couple of times. I've seen him hole in shots on 16 here at East Lake. Tigers won, you know, so many things happen here. And it never disappoints East Lake, the Tour Championship. And it's going to be great.
Yeah. Do you like his new nickname, Patty Ice?
Well, yeah, it's not bad. Well, he is the Ice Man, isn't he? I'm looking down at a picture at him right here. And it's the only time I ever see him smile. The only time he's smiling is when he probably passes wind. But the thing is, you know, he's an ice man. He plays it just like Bernard Langer. That's the way he goes about his business. He's a fantastic player. And who would like to play him at the Ryder Cup? Put your hand up. Well, I'm not putting mine up.
You told me once, I remember sat in studio with you. You told me that he was... I know you're a big fan, great player, that he was the worst-dressed golfer on tour.
He's one of.
Him and Adam Scott.
You said Adam Scott. I didn't say Adam Scott. Adam Scott's in Australia. And Cantlay sponsored by a very famous German brand. I'm sure they – well, you've got to stop giving him that stuff in the dark because you've got to, you know, jazz him up a bit.
Patty Ice is going to get some new clobber next time we see him on tour, hopefully. Listen, should we welcome our very special guest this week? Because he's a cracker. We did well to get him, actually. He's a busy man. We did well to get him.
Well, he's still at Medina, holy putz.
Well, I'm delighted to say that our special guest for episode 4 of our podcast, Sturkers and Radar, is none other than the postman, Ian Poulter, joining us on the line from the United States of America. Poults, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Enjoying the Florida weather. You know, I've got a week off. You know, with a tour championship on this week. I obviously a little bit gutted. I'm not at it, you know. Just missed out, you know what I mean? I nearly won last week. But for that putt that lipped out on 18, I would have won, you know. But it didn't go in and I ended up coming 37, didn't I? That's just how it goes.
You've been playing well, haven't you, Paul? You've got to be happy with your form of late. Obviously, we're talking Ryder Cup. You know, our podcast is a monthly podcast. So we're looking at potential picks. And, you know, I've covered a couple of events in the studio at Sky. We've been watching your progress. You've been playing well. How confident are you of a pick, a captain's pick for Team Europe?
Well, you know, you say I'm playing well. You know, and I'd agree with that. You know, I think I'm playing well, you know, for the last three decades, I'd say. I've been playing pretty well. I'm pretty confident, you know. So, listen, if Paudrig, you know, if obviously he wants to win, and I think he does, you know, I don't think he's an idiot. So, I believe I'll get the pick. I should do, you know. You know, I say Ryder Cup team, you know, without Poulter is a bit like Sky Sports without Radar. I mean, it's just not, I'm just not having it. So, I fully expect to get the pick, Sarah. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, man. Sarah, give it away.
Right, are you laughing at me, mate?
Oh, God. Connor Moore, everybody. Oh, man.
I wanted to keep that going for a little bit longer.
No, that was brilliant, Connor. That was just great.
I was trying to keep a straight face here.
Yeah, but I couldn't.
Well, we're on Zoom, so we can see each other's facial expressions. So, listen, Connor, I'm a massive fan of your work, and I know Radar is as well. So it's amazing to have you on. So thank you for taking the time.
No, thanks very, very much for having me.
Now, I also want to ask, I mean, look, we look at your, Radar and I were chatting about kind of, you know, guess who we wanted to get on. And, you know, Radar said, Connor would be brilliant. And obviously we met, didn't we, a couple of years ago at Port Rush. And I think since I last saw you, I mean, tell us about just your career and how it's gone, because you're a bit showbiz now, aren't you? I mean, you got your own show in the US, you know, you're flying back across the Atlantic, you know, you're taking Instagram, you're viral on social media all the time. It's been a pretty amazing couple of years for you, hasn't it?
It's been incredible. Like, the golf was next level. You know, I was doing obviously the Irish stuff back home, and then I started doing a little bit of soccer with the guys I was working with here in Dublin. And in 2018, then around Christmas time, I was like, I should do like a golf video, because like I'm kind of just a sports all round sports fan, like Premier League, everything, like, you know, and always followed the golf as well. So I just started doing the golf, and then literally one video, and all of a sudden I was flying to Florida to meet Mike McCarley and the guys at the Golf Channel, and then it just, I don't know, it just blew up from there. But it's just been great. I suppose I'm very lucky. You know, when you're the first person to do something, you get the in and you do get a good push, and like, no one had really done the golf impersonations before, while in the other sports I was doing, people had done it before, so I was coming along. But even in those sports, I was trying to do people that weren't being done.
Yeah.
So I was always trying to, like, you know, carve out my own identity in it, really. And then the golf, then I pretty much had a free rein to just do what I liked, and it's just been great. Yeah,
it's been amazing.
By the way, I'm practicing my radar. I don't have the glasses, but bloody hell, you know, I just sound, it's not the best, but it's gonna be all right. I knew I was coming on today, and I was listening to you Sunday, and I was like, oh yeah, here he is, Bryson, there he is, Gale. So I was like, is this fella turned on listening to this?
Connor, the question is, like, the why I want to sort of, like, where do you practice what you do? Is it in the lounge room? Well, like, do you sit in a room by yourself and just focus and have a script there and just look at yourself in the mirror? Well, how do you go about it?
Well, to be honest with you, the room, I know, obviously, this is a podcast, but we're actually on Zoom. We can see each other. This is the room. I just sit here with this laptop. And I remember a couple of years ago thinking to myself, like, obviously, like, you know, you're unbelievably blessed to get a job where you're just going around making fun of people, and it's like, you know, it's on the internet and all that kind of crack. It's a dream job. And you could easily kind of get lost in that and maybe not put in the hours. But like, I realized after a while doing this job, then I didn't have a 9-to-5 job, but like everybody else does. And like, I'm going to be bored then Monday to Friday, really, you know, if I don't work 9-to-5. So I just started working pretty much 9-to-5. So I get up, well, about, I suppose, 7-to-5, I usually kick off. So in the morning, I'll do like 3 hours of different impersonations, and whether that's soccer, golf, always trying out to it. But I'll just sit here for a few hours. I'll pick one video, usually, or maybe two, that are around 2 minutes long. And I'll just watch it and watch it and watch it. And it takes me quite a long time, like, to get some people. Some people are dead easy. Like, Harrington, started doing him, and it, like, everybody in Ireland can do a Padraig Harrington, really. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, just like that. You know, a bit of a Dublin accent, and you just speak it up a little bit. And it's just, I stick the tongue out as well. And you're laughing. You know, while doing Tiger then, like, I spent so long trying to get Tiger. Like, I even gave up on Tiger at one point because I was like, I just can't do him. And then I was just watching a video one day, and I said, I'm just going to give it like 4 or 5 days where I just listen to him all day long. Like, wake up in the morning, listen to him, go to bed at night with the phone, like, in my face, listening to him. And then, I don't know, I listened to one or two. I was chopping and changing with the interviews, and then he said the words, well, the conditions were really tough out there, and they were tough. And there was something about his jaw that, like, just hit me, and I was like, he doesn't really move his bottom jaw. It's kind of like, oh, really, really tough. Or, just something about his jaw, it's like it's locked. And when I got that then, I just got it. Like, I got Tiger, and then, you know, it just kind of, yeah, I just listened to videos. And it's also like the guys you do a lot are the best guys. People will go, oh, he's your best one, he's your best one. But it's always the guys you have to do a lot. So it is just practice, because the more you're doing the people, the better it gets, and the more nuances you pick up in their voice or the tone of their voice or whatever. And it just goes from there. Some people I can't do. I'm trying to do Phil Mickelson for 2 or 3 years, can't do him. One or two people in the soccer this year I've been trying to do, the Chelsea manager, couldn't get him. So it's sometimes you could work on someone for ages and just not get it. Sometimes you can work on someone and you think you can't get him. You could be 3 or 4 weeks in, about to give up, and then something happens and you get him. And it's like, actually, Rosie was one. Rosie, you know Roy Hodgson?
He's my favourite that you do. Rosie is, yeah, I think, yeah. Mint.
I actually couldn't do him at the start. And I was in the room and I was like, and I gave up on him. And then, you know Roy Hodgson that managed England?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roy Hodgson talks a little bit like that, and you know, he's a boy, you know, Roy, you know, blah blah blah. I was doing him in the room one day, and my brother just opens the door, and he goes, "This is a couple of years ago." He just opens the door, and he goes, "You're doing Justin Rose," and I was like, pissed off. I was like, "What?" I was like, "I was doing Roy Hodgson," and he goes, "Oh, all right, I thought it was Justin Rose," and it clicked with me about 5 minutes later. I went, "I'm an idiot. Oh my god, was I doing Rosie?" So I went back out to him. I was like, doing it. So then I started doing Rosie different. I said, you know, all the guys, and you know, delighted to be here. A little bit disappointed this year. Didn't make the Ryder Cup or the Olympics, Ryder, you know, me.
Yeah.
Mr. Olympian, Mr. Muhammad Ali that I am. I was a bit disgusted by that. But hopefully, you know, there's a chance I might get a captain's pick. If not, I am available for commentary.
Connor, is he going to pick him?
I don't know. I don't think he'll pick Rosie if Shane's knocked out of the 9th spot.
Yeah.
Wentworth, I don't know what the crack is there. If Shane makes it, he's 3 picks. Obviously, if Shane doesn't make it, he's 3 picks. But I do think Shane's playing really well. I fancy Shane to get a pick. I hope he does anyway. And then I think Sergio and...
Poults.
Yeah, Poults. Yeah, there's no... Sergio and Garcia, or Sergio and Poulter are the two definites, in my opinion.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah. And then it all depends. Hopefully, please God, Shane makes it. And then, I don't know, hopefully Rosie gets the 3rd pick. I'd like to see him get it, yeah. Do you think he'll get it?
Yeah. The thing is, you're sort of looking at something right now, and you're looking at Stenson, who's throwing a spanner into the works the last couple of tournaments, showing willing to go over there and play in the Czech Republic. Then all of a sudden going up to the mountain, running top four. You know, what do you do? And then you've got Wyndham. He played well. Justin. It's all going to come down to the PGA Championship, which is going to be fantastic at Wentworth. Really. Are you playing the Pro-Am?
I'm not, no.
What's wrong with you?
I know, yeah. I should have actually put the word in. I was looking at that. I would have liked to have played that. Although, you know what, traveling nowadays and stuff, and I'm still in Dublin.
NetJets?
NetJets, put in the call. Can I get sponsored by them, actually, by the way? Are you sponsored by them, Raider? Do I see NetJets in your colour?
Connor, can we go... two of my favourites. So I know Poulter, obviously, I'm a big fan of your Tiger impression. I think that's spot on. And I think the kind of some of the terminology you use. Two of my other favourites, DJ and Bryson. Was DJ quite easy to do? Was Bryson quite tough to do? How long kind of, what was the work to get those two nailed on?
Yeah, see, it all depends as well. Like, a DJ is like a caricature, really. Let's be honest. Like, I just like, just went with, you know, it's like, it's cool, man. Can't wait for the Ryder Cup. You know, last time I played the Ryder Cup, I was in France, and the people of France were just so cool to me, man. They were like, I was disappointed we lost. I was walking out and these two French dudes stopped me and they just said, you know, you're my favorite player, DJ. Don't feel bad. You're the best player in the world. And I was like, I was blown away, Sarah. I was just like, I don't know what to say. So I just said the only two words I know in French. Gracias.
Brilliant.
But that Bryson is like...
Bryson must be harder, right, to get?
He is, yeah. He is. He's quite hard. Like, and again, like, it's... and then he just, like, how do you do Bryson? He's Bryson. It's how do you parody someone who is a parody of themselves? Yeah. You know, he comes on and the stuff he comes out. I love his interviews at the end of the year. You know, I just want to thank my sponsors straight off. I want to say without them. And then when he loses, there ain't no sponsors. He's like, and I kind of feel a bit bad for him. Like, but he just puts his foot in it so much. Like, it's unreal. You know, he comes out and he's just, I don't know. Now they're all getting banned for, or people are getting thrown out if they say the word Brooksy.
Yeah.
You know, people are calling me Brooksy. It's just not right. Okay. You know, but let me tell you, I'm going to play well. I'm going to play really, really well. And next Sunday, Tour Championship, my name is going to be all over that trophy. Bryson DeChambeau.
Honestly, though, that feud between the two, I know you've done a couple of little sketches and skits. What honestly, as a golf fan, as Connor Moore, what have you made of that, of the playground behaviour between the two?
Initially, I love it. Like, I absolutely, because for me, like, it just gives me some content. Because, like, golf is not like the craziest sport in the world. Like compared to soccer, like the soccer managers and stuff, they give me content every week. While in golf, it's a bit more subdued, and I love it up to a certain point. When I heard like some of the stuff that happened to Bryson, the thing last week, I know people are kind of laughing at the fact that the PGA Tour came out and said that they would chuck people out if they called him Brooksy. But like, he's after losing, and some asshole, for want of a better word, shouts at him Brooksy, knowing that it does frustrate him. Like, it is to me borders on the line of bullying then. And like, I know he's a professional, people go, he's loads of money and all that, but he's a human being at the end of the day. He's disappointed. Like, if I play bad in a Sunday competition, like in my home course back in Mullingar, I'm, you know, totally pissed off walking off, and I'm like, imagine what he's like. You know, he wants all these victories. He's a serious competitor. But like, yeah, I love it to a certain point. I just don't know whether is it getting into kind of nasty town now. So it's a weird one, you know?
I agree with you. So listen, in terms of, I know you've been working on the Radar impression. There's a couple of, Radar's got some great sayings, hasn't he? Like little lines. I think, what's the Radar? You're gonna tell me out here. So great for line, how is it for length?
Give me a couple of your best lines.
Oh, I haven't got any lines.
Give me the tips. Give me the tips on how to nail a Radar.
I just come out with, you know, I talk about the wind, and sometimes I've got this guy, he calls me up and he calls me Alka-Seltzer. He says, "You're always talking about the wind." But I have to talk about the wind. Yeah, that's the way it is. The end of the wind is downwind. It makes such a
wind's coming off the lake.
But I don't know what I'm saying out there. As long as it, you know,
I genuinely think the natural progression for you though is going to be like nature programs. I see you like kind of doing, you know, like David Attenborough stuff. Here he is. Yeah. The line is coming off. The wind's coming off the left. The deer is up there. I think if he gets around, if he goes, if he jumps in him, I think if he's aggressive here, he might get the right line. And there he goes.
Yeah, I know, kind of. The thing is, in my game, if we've got a really soft day, like in the respect of no wind, the echo is through the galleries. I can, and I speak loudly anyway. And it's one of those things, when I start whispering, You have to, because they hear me so many times. They've said, "Radar, shut up," because they know it's me, the players, when they're putting or whatever. And then all of a sudden, once they start to applaud, I was like, "Oh, he's only gone and send it bloody south into the cookie jar." And you know, it's like, then it sort of like, it pipes up. So, yeah. What about stand-up shows? Have you thought about doing shows like in theatres and stuff?
Well, do you know what? It's on the cards for next year. It was something that I thought maybe I would be doing at the end of last year is what the plan was. And then obviously with COVID hit, there was none of that sort of crack. But I want to do something in Ireland because I've done a lot of traveling over the last couple of years. But with COVID now, obviously, I'm doing the golf show from Dublin. And, you know, you're doing a lot more videos for people. You're giving them pretty much the same product, except you're coming on the screen, which is kind of great. Like, because traveling's great. And like, obviously, you know, in the golf game, when you're traveling around, like it can take its toll on you or whatever. And people go, "Oh, you're living a great life," or whatever. And it's like, I'm kind of going from hotel to hotel and you get fairly sick of planes fairly quick. So hopefully now at the end of next year, I want to do a Dublin show and then maybe take something into the UK. But also possibly we may be doing something like shows in and around majors and things like that, like a golf show. Like I'm working with a couple of really talented guys over in America. When it comes to their writing and their acting and stuff like that, like some of the sketches this year, I don't know if you see it from the show, like the marriage counselor one and stuff like that. Like, but there's been some classics and I'd love to kind of team up with them maybe and do something around there, like the majors or the big events, maybe on the PGA Tour, something like that. Yeah. So it's on the horizon for me, because the great thing about doing videos all the time is they always have to be different and stuff. But when you have a show, like you can bring that show, you're going to a different place and you can bring the same show for a few months, like once it's a different audience all the time, obviously, and add to it as the year is going on. But it doesn't always have to be different, but it's definitely on the cards, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great thing because the PGA at Wentworth, they've got a big show on Saturday night that they usually have. And you know, on the PGA Tour over here, they in most weeks they have a big stage set up and they've got bands. And you getting up there, there's a great opportunity for you. I'm sure you're tapping into it. You know, my question is yes. You know, what the question was, you've said yes, and you know, wisely. So there's a big opportunity for you, Connor.
Yeah, I do a lot. I do a lot of kind of after dinner stuff, maybe after like pro-am days and things like that, like, you know, and dinners that night and all that kind of crack. Again, now I haven't done many in the last year and a half, but I actually was booked in to do one set, the Honda Classic, which is next month. But I don't think that's probably not going to happen because we still can't get over to the good old USA.
Yeah, it's hard to get here. It really is hard to get here.
Yeah.
Connor, it's been brilliant to have you on. Just before you go, we ask all our guests who come on, we've got a little segment called I'll Have a Mulligan, Please. So something a player would want to do or have again in their career or their life maybe. So I'm going to ask you the same question. If you could have a mulligan, what would you change?
Well, I would change this one because it gave me serious anxiety for about 2 days and I thought I was going to lose my Golf Channel contract over it.
Go on.
Where I was at the Players Championship like last year or whatever, and they asked me to go do an interview with Sky Germany. And it was a German guy, absolute gentleman. So he was asking me questions and I was doing impersonations, but he had to translate the impersonation. So this was a very odd experience. So I was doing Tommy Fleetwood. He was going... he would like ask the question in German into the camera. And he'd be like, "Now, this is my impression of a German accent, but it's..." So he comes to me, asks me the question, and I'd be doing Tommy Fleetwood going, "Yeah, I mean, I can't wait, you know, myself and Francesco, you know, we were talking about it last night, which is, yeah, blah, blah, blah." So then it goes to Harrington. And then I came out with this, I don't know what it was. And usually I'm scripted most of the time. Like a lot of time I'll have a think about what I'm going to say. But he says, "So Padraig Harrington," in German, he says, "What about the Ryder Cup? What do you think?" And I'm standing there talking to him and I'm like, "Yeah, look, I'm here. I'm looking at a lot of players. You know, there's a few players in the field. A countryman of yours, Martin Keimer. Yeah, I am. You know, listen, it's going to be a real war against the Americans. And you know, the Germans, they love a good war." He looked into the camera and he goes, "Whoops." And I was only two impressions in and he cut the whole thing off and I walked off. I was trying to say sorry to him. He was like, "Oh, it's fine. But I think we were live and I went off then, and I remember sitting in the car and I worked with like Alexandra Loughlin, the Golf Channel. We were over at GMAX Place and we were drinking a pint and I was like, "That's it. I'm done. I don't know why I came out with that one." I don't know why I said it, but if I could go back and take that back, I would definitely take that one back. That was a stupid joke.
Yeah, but
could I ask one more question, Sarah? What did you do before this found you, Connor?
I did a degree in finance in Dublin, and then I went to America for a year or two, came home. I was doing finance and I just got so bored of it. It just wasn't for me. I just didn't like sitting there. I ended up doing sales. So I just went, took a bit of a wage cut in terms of base wage, but I was like going around like selling telephone packages to companies. And in my head, I was going to become like the best salesman in the world or something. You know what I mean? And I mean, what a painful job it was. Like so many people told me to F off walking into buildings and stuff like that.
Oh,
that's what I was doing, pretty much annoying people. And then I started doing telesales. And then I did the video. Well, the funny thing about the video is a company rang me up after I did one video. And they were like, come in, we'll give you a job. I think you're a great impressionist. It was my very first video. Then they asked me, show us your stuff. Show us your portfolio stuff. And I was like, I don't, like, that's pretty much it. Like what you have there, you know, the video on the phone. And they were like, so you don't do any? And then I was kind of going, oh, no, I do. Just give me a week or so, you know. So they gave me a week, came back, sent them a load of stuff. And they were like, you're not that good at all. No, we don't have a job. Sorry, bang. But like, I was good at it. I didn't get the job, but I actually quit my own job the next day because of what I learned in that week was, I was like, these things are getting better as you practice, like, which I kind of thought, well, it's all natural and you just have it or you don't. So I realized that I practiced. So I gave up my job and I said, I'll give it 6 months. And if I don't have, I was going to go back into finance after my experience in sales. It's a tough old gig. Like, so yeah, that was it. I was doing sales. I was a salesman. I was a butcher.
You've sold yourself well, lad. Right, the quick nine.
Yeah, should we do it?
Yep.
Best city for a night out, Connor?
Best city was Houston, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah, amazing.
Swing you most admire on tour?
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. Favourite event on tour?
The Open.
Good answer. Favourite tipple? Oh. I know you like a little drink.
Oh, Guinness. Give me the vitamin G.
Favourite quote or mantra, something that you maybe try to live your life by?
Always be yourself, unless you're an impressionist.
Favourite club in your bag? Because you're quite a handy golfer, aren't you? I've seen your swing on Insta. What's your favourite club?
I must admit, I'm a 15 handicap. I am... not to call myself athletic is a bit big-headed, but I'm very well coordinated. I'm quite skillful, like playing soccer and Irish football and stuff. So I look like I have a good swing. But if you notice, you don't really see where the ball goes in most of those things on Instagram. So but favorite club in the bag would be like my favorite club in the bag. It'd be my 8 or 9 iron. I always hit them well enough. If I'm within like 150, I'm laughing. Like I'm always, I like not that I'm always going to hit the green. No way. But I like those clubs. Yeah.
You like DJ? Good from 150 and in. Like that.
Oh yeah.
Lowest round you've ever shot?
85.
Nice. Celebrity.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Don't forget that.
Celebrity crush. Palm Radar.
Cristiano Ronaldo's girlfriend. I was just excited. She's
and
don't tell my future wife.
Yeah, come back, by the way, you're recently engaged, aren't you?
Yeah, getting married now in November. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And then impression. We've kind of touched on the hardest impression. Who are you kind of working on right now? Who are we going to see you releasing soon into the impersonating world?
Hopefully. Now, I've been saying this for a while, though, but Jack Nicklaus.
Ah.
Oh, good, yeah. I can't see that. I don't know. Is that going to be difficult? I can't see that being difficult. High, almost a Philip Walton high. Do you know what I mean? Not as high as Phil, but a cross between Jack and... tell me, please. Is that a difficult one? Is it a toughie?
To me, yeah, it's like naturally it is a bit of a toughie, but like looking at it, I think I'll get it. And I think there's any amount of content because like I've obviously been in Jack's presence a few times, like, and like he's kind of like, when am I going to see me? Like he wants me to make fun of him. He's like, he's giving me
a cool guy. Tips as well. Great guy.
He's a legend. Like he's so easy going and stuff. You know what I mean? And he was even telling me, he's like, you know, I'm a bit of a wise ass. That's what he told me.
Brilliant. Love it. And listen, you're going to get Radar nailed on, and then we'll get you on somewhere down the line on Stokers and Radar again, and you'll have Radar down to a T.
They might put me on the course one day, and I'll just do it, and let's see, did the Sky Sports viewers realise that it's not Radar?
I'm sure Sky will be up with that, with Golf Channel be a sister company. I'm sure 100%. We'll do a little whole segment. Absolutely. They'll be up for that kind of
you, I do you know what would be great, actually? You and Bones.
Oh, but
you just keep going between you and Bones.
I can't speak as fast as him, man.
The Golf Whisperers.
Mate, great. Thank you ever so much.
Connor, it's been awesome.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks very, very much, guys.
You know, I was trying to get Connor a couple of episodes ago, so delighted that he made it on, and we're huge fans, and I can't wait till he gets your impersonation down to a T. But what a guest. A great guy as well. Loved having him on.
Absolutely. You know what? The one thing is, I'm so impressed that someone has come out with something original. Like, there's so many people that you do presenting like you do, or you do on-course stuff like I do. And people who come along, basically, they just look at us and you know, I'm not blowing our trumpets or anything like that. I'm just saying, well, they copy it and they go, well, I can do that too. Yeah, okay, well, good luck. But the thing is, I love to see someone like Connor go, I'm going to do that. And it's original. And that's, I'd love to put him on my shoulders, because honestly, what he's done, my brother's a huge fan of his in Hong Kong. And he was the first a few years back that, have you heard of this Connor Moore radar? And I went, not really, blah, blah, blah. And ever since, anything he does is unreal. Yeah, the Klopp, the Liverpool manager, you see that one with the teeth, he looks like a horse. It's just brilliant. It's just absolutely, you know, he's a very clever, cool young Irishman.
He is. He's brilliant. You said it. You nailed it perfectly. You don't meet a bad Irishman or woman. They're always brilliant. Good crack, but always lovely.
Yeah, I've never met a Irish person, you know, lady or gentleman. I've never met a tosser. I really have not. Or maybe two or three, but that's about it.
Now, one of my highlights, I think, the last few weeks, obviously you're stateside. I was up in Carnoustie a couple of weeks ago for the AIG Women's Open. Radar, that's always one of my favourite events. It's, I think, the elevation of that championship, you know, the venues they're playing, Troon last year, Carnoustie, Muirfield, Porthcawl, some amazing courses. The RNA and AIG have really, they've gone to town with it, and it's just become, you know, one of the biggest events now in the women's game. This year, the prize fund increased by 1.3 million to 5.8 million. So the most lucrative event in women's golf, the winner, Anna Nordqvist, very well done to her, amazing performance, $870,000 she took home. Next year, it increases even more, a further 1 million in 2022 to 6.8 million, comfortably making it the largest purse out of the five women's majors. I think this is just rewards for the women's game becoming bigger, better and stronger. And I just think it's fantastic that the RNA, Martin Slumber's done an amazing job, AIG, the sponsor, have put this championship to a different level. And I know you wholeheartedly agree with me.
Absolutely. We spoke about it a couple of podcasts back. It was, it's long overdue that should happen. But the majors, they can do it. They have the money. And congratulations, Mr. Slumbers, and your team there at the RNA. Fantastic stuff. But it's time the European Tour, the ladies, the LET, someone comes along and grabs it. I mean, honestly, it's there because Sky are putting it on television all the time. And go and grab the whole tour, big name brand, and go, bang, this is ours. And it's there to be had. I think it's just great business that is there waiting to be done. And, it's long overdue, this sort of stuff, for ladies' golf. Ladies' golf is fantastic to watch. They're fantastic players. Okay, they don't get over there and overpower golf courses. Well, some of them do. They do it in a very different way. But I love watching ladies' golf, and it's a great product. Get on board. Get with the program, someone.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said. Do you not agree, with the... We look at the guys. I mean, you're there covering, as we've been talking about, the FedEx Cup. You know what? The winner of the FedEx Cup gets what? 15 million now. It's the money in the men's game is ludicrous. it's kind of crazy that we're still, the women's game is so far behind. Yet, look, it's going to be to get parity, to get equality between the two sports. I mean, that's going to take an age and it may never happen. But it's so good, isn't it, that we're now seeing, you know, these women need to be playing for decent money. We've talked about it with the Rose Lady series. They don't want to be playing for, you know, for small cash sums. They need to be playing for big bucks. They deserve it. And why not? So we need to try and close that gap between the men's and the women's game.
Well, it's going to be very hard to close that gap because, you know, it's not my idea, but it's obviously easier to sell sponsorship for the men's game at the moment. But this is a start, and it's a huge leap that the RNA are embarking on to give more money, and then they're going more money. So they have big ideas with this Ladies Open Championship. You know, and we've got the Seniors Open Championship. I did that the week after all St. George's at Sunningdale Golf Club. But when are we going to have a Seniors Ladies Championship on the European Tour? It can start. They've got a big seniors tour over here now. Trish Johnson won last week. Our own Sky Sports, Trish Johnson, she won. So, you know, there's all sorts of things that can be done, and they can't be just left alone, and we need to address it. And let's address things that we are addressing, the ladies' prize money. They need, as you said, they need to make a living. That's the way it is. You all want to be entertained, and you are entertained by watching these ladies play their games and win championships, but they need to be rewarded. They need to live in nice houses and drive nice cars and do nice things as well. And I think we're going to get there. I'm sure we're going to get there. How long it takes, hopefully not too long.
Exactly. Now, I also wanted to touch on, I know you're a big fan. He's a ping player as well. Big Tone winning. Finally. Big Tony finally winning that second event at the Northern Trust. Radar, I was so relieved to see it. You know, I still remember before lockdown, so it was 19, wasn't it? Phoenix.
Yeah.
Spoke to him. Yeah, Webb Simpson went on that birdie blitz. And I stood there at the end of the Sky Kart with Big Tone, and he's a class act. He always fronts up, does interviews, whether he's won or lost. And he was gutted. And I thought that day, you know, he didn't lose it. Webb just shot the lights out down the stretch and took away the title. We've waited so long. And can you imagine what pressure has he been under with us constantly in the media saying, come on, Tony, you're too good, you're too talented. When are you going to win again? How happy were you for him to see him again breaking through into that winner's circle?
Well, I was standing with him on the 18th green there at Liberty National whilst he was waiting for Cameron Smith to hit that 25-foot putt to win the championship. And he wasn't wishing any ill on Cam Smith, but you could see how nervous he was. Another chance. He's standing with his management. They were trying to help him out and calm him down. And, look, I know how much it means to Tony. He lost in a playoff as well at the Riviera this year to Max Homa. And he pulled that bunker, that shot. And he might have blown it a little bit there at Riviera. But did he blow it? I think he shot 64 or 65 last day to get into it. So that's not choking. It hasn't been choking that's been Finau's problem. It's been other guys just playing a little better than him on a Sunday. That Phoenix, I think it was a 71 or a 72 he shot Sunday. Just not good enough there. But, you know, when you go to Riviera and you shoot 6 or 7 under on the last day to get into a playoff, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, have you? So, you know, he's a great player. Sure, he'll be on the Ryder Cup team. And two tournament wins now, you know, fantastic player. And there will be more to come from Tony Finau.
Definitely. Nicest man in golf, right?
Oh, besides you and I.
He's just the best. Steve Stricker as well for me might be up there in my top three of nicest men in golf. But Tony Finau is definitely in my top five. I love him. I'm a big fan. So, yeah, I was really chuffed about that. Now, listen, Radar, you've had your little rant. So it's time for It Stirred Me. What's kind of irked me? What's annoyed me this episode or over the last month? And did you see, I don't know how well you know, hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast. Did you see this Twitter spat between John Huggan and Amanda Baleonis? Did you see this?
No, no. I like Huggy on Twitter. He likes to say he, John. He likes the Twitter. And he's very good at it. But a man is good at a job. No, I don't read Twitter. I've just started doing Instagram. Twitter. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I should be allowed on that.
Well, do you know what? I think you're right. He is good. He's opinionated. He puts his, and I know he's, I think he's pissed a couple of people off in his time. But basically, you know, and I know Amanda, you know Amanda, yep. She's a class act. She's a top professional. She does a brilliant job, high pressure job with our friends in the US, CBS. And basically he sent this tweet out saying, why do women, obviously it was related to her, why does she have to wear, and I can say this because I'm sitting here from a female perspective, why does she have to wear, you know, such short skirts? And I was appalled by this, Radar, because I think, you know, you and I, as mates, we talk about this a lot, and we've just had a massive conversation there about the AIG Women's Open being, you want to see the women's game grow and elevate. You're a massive fan of women's sport, professionals in general. I feel passionate about it. I think it's important that on the podcast that we cover women's golf just as much as you know, men's golf. And I think it's really important that we all support and back up what has been trying to be done in from all the governing bodies in the game of golf. And I just think this comment, why is someone needing to even mention or look at the length of somebody's skirt? She's there doing a job. And why does that need to be put out there in the public domain? You know, if it was a guy doing the interviews in a pair of shorts or a tight t-shirt showing off his biceps, would any comment have been made about that? So, and to be fair to John Hogan, he has apologized. He said on Twitter, and I'm going to read his tweet out. He said, look, I did something really stupid on here the other day. No excuses. And to those who were quite rightly and understandably offended, my sincere apologies. Rest assured, it will never happen again. But basically, so credit to him. But the fact is that comment, all the work we're trying to do in women's golf, in women's sport, we don't need comments like that. You know, I've had it in studio, you know, when I've worn a short dress or a low-cut top, whatever it is, I'm there to do a job. What we wear and how we look is irrelevant. And why does it have to be a thing with women when it's not so with men? And I just think it was a completely sexist comment and it was wrong. And Amanda replied and she said, look, when will you stop with the toxic takes? They are not short skirts. And that's the thing. They are just, she said, they are just skirts. It's a golf skirt. She's not there trying to wear a short skirt. She's wearing golf attire, doing her job. And then she goes on to say, if the fashion choices of adult women make you this uncomfortable, I'd suggest you look inward. You can, in fact, be good at your job and not have to hide your body to be respected. So I just think, look, fair play to me to apologise, but I just think for everything we're trying to do and the sexism in sport and golf, we just don't need comments like that. And it really got to me.
Well said. Well said.
So, yeah, that was my little rant. And hopefully we won't see comments like that again on social media. So good, bad and the fugly. Now, it's quite hard to kind of narrow this down. My good, I'd say there's been a lot of good from some of the Scottish players of late. Grant Forrest, Callum Hill on the European Tour. Loved watching that. And also Henrik Stenson, that bogey 363 in Cron was amazing. So I think so well done to the Scots boys and to Stenson. That's kind of my good for this episode. What about you?
Well, the good, we're getting back to normal. I mean, being over here and watching on the European Tour, the ETP doing a good job over there, Sky are, but when you're in the States, you know, we're getting back to normal. The announcement of the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour and the European Tour getting together is absolutely massive. There's a lot of talk about that over here. I can relay back to over there about that. A lot of players are so very, very happy. A lot of players over here just are whispers that I'm getting. The BMW last week on the playoffs and the BMW next week, they're wondering whether that would be up there, would be a possibility where the one at Wentworth would be in the playoffs. That wouldn't be a bad, that would be a great shout. That would be good if that, but that'd be, it'd be upsetting to lose one there. But, you know, on the PGA Tour, they have so many sponsors that they can readily go and get. If the middle one was, and then we come to Eastlake there in London, it's not a long flight from London to around here. It's 6.5 hours. And you go over and play it, and you could finish on a Saturday maybe. I don't know. But that's the, they're the whispers I'm hearing. Whether the people listen to our podcast, Jay Monahan and Keith Pelly, go, no, that's not going to happen. But that's what the whispers I've heard, that maybe we're down the road, Wentworth could be.
Would love to see that. That'd be amazing.
Does it make sense to you?
Absolutely amazing. I think the strategic alliance between the two tours, I think, is fantastic. And I think it's only going to get better and stronger, isn't it, at the end of the day?
It could go anywhere, couldn't it? It could go anywhere. Exactly. We've got the Scottish in there now. Obviously, the Open. The Irish would be a blast to be in there. That's absolutely the Irish, Scottish, the Open. You've got that swing. You've got the link swing. Like in tennis, they've got the hard court. They've got the clay. They've got the grass. We could do that sort of thing. And it's all happening. We've been speaking about it for years. It's all happening. We're moving forward. But, yeah, it's all progressing, and it's so many positives. I think I said this a couple of podcasts ago, but I keep on going on about it. I just feel so positive about where our game is at, and so many young players, so many good players, so many good lady players. And the Corder sisters, Nelly, world number one, won the PGA. Easily world number one. Jessica, right up there, top 20 golfer in the world. Fantastic. Peter Corder, the dad, former Australian Open tennis champion, got to number two in the world. So it's a golfing family. And Nelly, you know, it's time, you know. Annika played on the PGA Tour. What didn't make the cut? Then we had Michelle Wee play. So maybe it's your time to come and come and play. I'd love to see her play the second week on the PGA Tour in Hawaii at the Sony. It's a good golf course. It's a friendly golf course. It'd be great for her. So I don't know how long until that's going to happen. And I see another thing I'm listening to, I'm hearing over here. I hear, just a whisper, I want to get the rumours out, that Brooks and Bryson might be having a little match in Vegas at the end of the year.
Ooh. Radar's the man in the know.
Well, if it happens,
yeah.
But I'm hearing that sort of. I'm going to give you the whispers. Don't come to me and start screaming at me, ladies and gentlemen, that it wasn't true. But I like to give you the little rumors.
I love that. And how you see that's entertainment. That's golfing entertainment right there. How many people would love to see that? Sorry if you just heard my dogs barking. By
I didn't pay. I didn't pay for Tiger Woods and Phil.
No,
I would pay for Brooks and Bryson.
Yeah, I would.
Don't you feed your dog?
They're moaning at me saying, "Come on, sir, because it's
go for a walk.
We need a walk. We need a poo, and we need some food." So, in that order.
Come to think of it, it's early in the morning. So do I.
I was going to say, that's your morning routine right there. Right. My bad. I've lost my train of thought now. My bad. Patrick Reed battling pneumonia. Now, we missed the first couple of playoff events. I'm going to say it's bad. A few people say, oh, well, we don't care that Patrick Reed's not been playing because he might not be the most popular. I've always liked Patrick Reed. He's like a pantomime villain, but I'm a fan. And I feel for him. He's been really battling ill health in hospital in Houston. But he's playing this week, isn't he, in the Tour Championship? So I hope he gets back. I hope he plays. I hope he gets through this week. And I would love to see him, because he's been knocked out of the automatic spots. Obviously, that the six picks left. I'd love to see him in the Ryder Cup, because I just think it's not good for us from a European perspective. But I think the Ryder Cup with Patrick Reed in is better and it's entertaining. So I hope that he's okay this week and we'll see him at the Ryder Cup. That's my bad, that he's been ill.
Loving it. Ryder Cup wouldn't be the same without Captain America. Absolutely, 100%. We want Patrick Reed there.
Definitely. And my fugly was just Radar, Bernd Wiesberger, 18th tee, Ryder Cup place in his sights, ended up with a horrific double bogey to lose, and heartbreaking, just that double bogey and cron for Wiesberger. So much at stake with the tournament, obviously, and obviously Ryder Cup as well. So that was just horrible to see. Horrible to see.
I watched it and I couldn't believe it. How he must have felt walking off there and signing his card would have been horrific. So that is a double fugly.
Yeah, double fugly. All right, and so let's just finish up with our little prediction. And we like a little prediction, don't we, at the end of our podcast. And we've just got to quickly talk Ryder Cup. So I'm thinking, when we had Connor, obviously we were talking about the Ryder Cup wildcard picks for Harrington. I mean, for me, Poulter, Sergio are in. I think Sergio played well last week at the BMW. Poulter's a postman. He's been showing some good form. I think they're, do you not agree, dead certs, those two?
Yeah.
The third one, I'm a bit intrigued by. I mean, I personally, having said that with Bernd, I'd love to see, I know how what it would mean to Bernd to play in a Ryder Cup. Worked with him a little bit in 18 in Paris. He was doing some stuff for us with Sky Sports. Had that tough injury. He's a quality player. Multiple winner on the European Tour. I'd love to see Bernd get a pick because he's there or thereabouts. Shane, I hope, qualifies automatically. A lot of permutations, obviously, with what can happen at the PGA Championship at Wentworth. If Bernd gets a top 15, I think, in this week's Italian, he would move ahead of Rory on the European points list, which would see McIlroy bump Lowry off the world points list. But then, obviously, Lowry plays Wentworth. So a lot can still happen. But that third pick, I'm going to go Wiesberger.
Whoa. Look, I think if Shane comes out of that ninth position, like Connor Moore said, Shane is going to get a pick. Bernd Wiesberger's gone.
Because I'm banking on Shane being in automatically.
That's exactly right. And he loves Wentworth. He has bagged so much cash. He's had seconds. He's had numerous top tens, Shane. He absolutely adores it there. He eats down my local pub in Sunning Hill called the Carpenter's Arms. Wonderful food. That's where he eats most nights. He loves the area. So we want him to make it for Harrington. Because you've got to be thinking, if he goes out of that top 10 chain, it's going to be Lowry, Sergio, Poulter. And you're going to pit Wiesberger in front of Rosie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because I think he's got, what? So if Shane qualifies automatically, are you going Rose, Poulter, Sergio?
Yep.
Are you? Yeah. Yeah.
Got you thinking there?
No, I know. I know. I probably worry about Rosie's form, not worry you?
Yeah. Well, he had a chance to win at the Wyndham about 3 weeks ago. And I was doing that in the studio in London and he actually blew it. But he got himself in a position back nine Sunday.
After having not done much in the run-up to that, right?
That's right. But what's going to happen, Sarah, is that PGA Championship, okay, they're playing for the massive BMW PGA Championship, but there's a tournament within a tournament there that week. That's going to be massive. It's going to be announced on Sky Sports on the Sunday night, but that's going to be absolutely massive, the PGA Championship, for people to go, right, well, one of them gets the top five, and what about Stenson? What happens if Stenson runs third at BMW? That means he's gone top five, top three, top five.
Exactly.
What do you do?
So my question is that it all comes down to, I talked about it with Katrina Matthew the other day with the Solheim Cup picks. It's that balance of experience and form. But you look at the lineup now. So I'm right in this. So basically we've got, I think, so take it as though Shane's in. So we're doing that.
Let's hope that.
Yeah. So we've got, so look at the team. We've got Rahm, Fleetwood, Hatton, McIlroy, Hovland, Casey, Fitzpatrick, Westwood and Lowry, I think, at the moment. I think that's correct.
Yep.
That's a team of massive experience, right?
100%.
So you haven't got... So rookies, you've got what? Hovland?
Who's not a rookie. Match play won a US Open Championship. I'm actually playing with him next Tuesday at the Berkshire Victor Hovland in the Round with Radar Pink Series. So... I'd like you to know how he's playing when I beat him 2-1 over nine holes. I haven't won one of them yet.
I was going to say, you haven't won a round of radar yet. So there's not much in terms of, I know we talk about rookies loosely because these guys are winners on tour. They're not, you know, the rookies Ryder Cup era today, it's not what they used to be. But that team's got massive experience in it. So, but does he just bolster it? Yeah, does he go Rose, Sergio, Poulter, I mean, that's just a heck of an experienced lineup.
Definitely got Poulter and Sergio. I think sure. Connor, I think Connor was bang on. I think he's got Holter, Sergio. They are going to Whistling Straits. Yeah, it's the third one.
Yeah. And I think probably sentimentally, I'd like to see Bernd playing in a Rally Cup.
I'd love to see him. Like, Rosie's played many. But, you know, does he drag on experience? Only Poirier knows. But he's got a bit of a dilemma. Not as much as like, Stricker hasn't got that. He's got six picks. Look, it's got to get down to the nitty-gritty, it's going to be very, very hard for the Europeans to go over there with no fans from their side of the pond and win this. It's going to be very hard. The Americans are making so many birdies, even though you all know I am pro-European side. I love the European side. It's where I played my golf. It's where I make my home away from home. It's where my kids live. But I'm telling you, it's going to be very, very difficult. It's like Leighton Orient going to Stamford Bridge right at the moment. It's going to be very difficult, and there's nothing wrong with Leighton Orient.
Leighton Orient fans, you do not need to get in touch and complain. He loves you, really. Radar, I miss you, buddy. You're over there in the States. I'm not getting to work with you in person right now, but it's always fun to see your face on Zoom. And loving episode 4. So good stuff. Enjoy Tour Champs this week. And thanks to you all for listening. Don't forget Sturkers Radar on Twitter, Sturkers and Radar Pod on Insta. Thanks so much for listening. That is episode 4 of Sturkers and Radar and Cut.
Play your best and get those new wedges. They're mint.
This has been a Monkey Pants Productions podcast.